and couldn't get it ready. And then tried to get something else, and I just kept coming back to it. And I could almost stand here and say ditto to these messages that have been preached. Well, I'm going to read my... Well, I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to repeat. Brother Gordon read my text. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 10, Brother Cummins got up here and quoted the next passage of Scripture. So if you go to sleep, why, it's on me. Because you listened to them, because I knew you were back there, even though I didn't see you. But in Romans chapter 10, there in the fifth verse, this, I was going to read just what Brother Gordon read, and that makes me to believe that if you believe what they said, you're going to believe something that I'll say here today. Even so, then, at the present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, no, chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, ye workers of iniquity. And so, I don't know, this may not be the end of this message that has been started last night and again this morning and then today, but I want to encourage you as the elect of God that things are not as they look like they are at first sight. You look at it and you think, well, boy, this thing is so bad. There's no way that you can remedy this. There's no way that you can do anything about it. It's almost impossible to turn around and do something about it. But according to the election of grace of God, that things are right on time with God's timetable. They really are. And I didn't know this, that I'd be preaching this message here. In fact, I didn't know I was going to be preaching until sometime yesterday afternoon. But according to His grace, we have what we need for today. That's what we need, that's what God's going to provide. And so we need to let each day take care of today instead of worrying about what's going to be tomorrow. Because I believe the second coming of the Lord is imminent, and that it could be even before this service is over. I know that they tell us there's a lot of things that is going to come to pass, but I believe they're mixing them up, getting the tribulation period and all, and confusing people. And as they have confused people, they're going to have to stand in awe and say, well, we were wrong in this. But those that are not in this remnant, they'll still maybe think they're right, even after they've been proven. So we just take one day at a time. We may feel like the psalmist did over in Psalms 142. Psalms 142. I'm trying to encourage you, and I hope that we'll go away on a peak as we break for lunchtime. I hope that you will be encouraged, you'll be lifted up, and you'll say, I'm not alone in this world. You say, oh, I know the Lord's with me. But I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of God's elect there also, so you're not be standing here by yourself. And some of them in the Scripture that we want to refer to, they almost, or they did stand alone. They was in the situation they were in, they had to stand up for themselves and be identified. And I tell you, there's times in which you and I, perhaps in your life, that you're the only one that will stand for the truth. But we will stand because God has put us in that position to stand there. I can remember when Logana Baptist Church came out of the Elkhorn Association, which was a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. It wasn't alone, but there were five other brethren with me. And we said, we met in Trinity Baptist Church there in Lexington. They'd already started receiving alien immersion. And we asked that We met in their building, and we asked the association, do not seat this man and this church as a part of the Elkhorn Association. Now, I tell you, when you say, everybody out here, we're not going along with Brother Don Titus. Brother Titus got his people and a whole lot of them behind it. And you stand, you're standing almost alone, but you're in the majority because you, God's people, are in the majority. You are the majority with God on your side. They didn't accept it. We went back to Logan Baptist Church and asked them to break relationship with the association and stand there as an independent Baptist church. At that time, there were sound Baptists in the Elkhorn Association. There were two men, one of them at Calvary Baptist, one of them at Emmanuel Baptist Church. They came back and they said, we've been down in South Carolina and they're accepting alien immersion down there. And I see, brother, you're going to have to accept it up here. I remember a man, but can't call his name now, William Nevins, 92 years of age. I remember that he came into Ashland Avenue Baptist Church and he said, brethren, it's coming this way. And we hadn't heard of that before. They're going to be, he wrote a book, Alien Baptism and the Baptist. And some of you probably have it. And so you stand alone in this. But you don't have to be in a minority because you're representing God. And we're God's representative here in the earth. But in Psalms 42, and I want to read that whole chapter there. And he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. There's where our strength comes. We have connection with Him. I poured out my complaints before Him. I showed before Him my trouble when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then Thou knewest my path in the way wherein I walked. Have they privately laid a snare for me. Let me stop here and say just a few years, well, within the last year or year and a half, I was visiting in a home that the man and woman had left Logan Baptist Church and went somewhere else. I was visiting there and she said, who brought Logan Baptist Church out of the Elkhorn Association? Did you or did Brother Lloyd? I said, I was the pastor. The church brought themselves out. I didn't do it. I was their leader in this. And so here, they lay snares for you. She's dead now. I hope she's in heaven. I looked on my right hand and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from the persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. Thy righteous shall compass me about. For Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And then also in the 46th or 43rd chapter in verses 6 through 9, or verse through 10, he says, I stretch forth my hand unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide me, Thy face from me. Hide not Thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear the loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust. Cause me to know Thy way wherein I should walk, and I lift up my soul unto Thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto Thee to hide me. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God, Thy Spirit of God, of good, and lead me into the land of uprightness. And I believe these ought to be our prayers also even today. Ask God to lead us and put us in the right way. And the traps and all that are set before us, we need to be ready to say, Lord, I don't know which way to go. Now You show me. And God opens up the door for that. No man cared for my soul. He needed to hear what God told him to do. God's grace, he says, is sufficient. And I remember when Paul prayed, not that I was there, but I read it in the Scripture, and he said, I've got the thorn in the flesh. And three times I besought the Lord. And he asked him to remove it. And he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You just walk where I tell you. You go where I show you. And I believe that we need to get many like that he read about in Elijah. We need to, for the Lord to say, here, You're not standing alone. You get down in Jessamine County, there may be one other church in Jessamine County that preaches the same thing that we preach. And I can say, Lord, I'm standing alone. But God may say, wait a minute. Here's a whole 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And you know, when you look at that and you say, boy, that's a whole lot. But I'm standing here alone, or just one or two, it becomes shaky. But we need to go unto the Lord, and God takes care of this. And so when we see I'm the only one, and we're standing alone, and people look at you, are you? And Brother Ginn, I've heard of you. I've read about you. I know what you do. Whenever they had the meeting out at the high school last year, the I don't know whether there was a rabbi, but the Catholic priests and all the Protestant churches and those that call themselves Baptists, they all met together and they asked me to come with them and sent me a notice on it. I can't go into things like that. It's wrong. I don't believe the things that they do. God showed him. He said, here's the people. You're not alone. And I'm saying to you today, we may be few here compared to the multitudes of people in the United States of America, but we're not standing alone. I'm sure that other states and around the world are having conferences, or maybe here in the United States, having conferences that preach and teach the same thing that we preach here. I know that I hear several of you saying, we went here in a Bible conference, we went there, and you wouldn't go if they didn't believe the same thing that they do, that we do here. And so we may feel like that we're the only ones in the whole area standing for the truth. But no, there is a remnant. This remnant is standing for the Lord according to the grace of God. And things aren't as bad as they seem to be. And I say to you that I rejoice. Last year I didn't get to come, but I rejoice in being able to go to these Bible conferences. And because of being in the pastorate, I wasn't able to attend a lot of them. But I hope that by the grace of God that I'll get to go now and be fed, because as the pastor said, I need to be fed. I need to be taught. And so that's what we need to rejoice in this. And then I think of another person. I won't get over all of these, but I think of Joseph. You know, he was his father. He served 7 years for what he thought Joseph's mother. And when he found out that it was her sister that he had. But then when he served another 7 years, he got the woman that he wanted. And she had a child by the name of Joseph. And then also, she had another son, and his name, what was Benjamin? There was two of them. And giving birth to this second son, she died. And you know, some way or another, I'm human enough to feel like that he had a special blessing for the two sons that God gave him through the woman that he loved. You say, well, what's that mean? I believe he showed a little favoritism. Showed a little favoritism because he had the other woman and the concubines and all and had children by them. But Joseph, I read that he had a coat that was something special. Sent his other brothers out to take care of the sheep. And he said, Joseph, go down and see how everything's going. And he went down there, had some things that happened along the way. And they hated him. Here comes that dreamer. Because God had spoken to him. And he said, these others are going to bow down unto you. And he said, not only that, he had another one in which the sun and the moon bowed down to him, mother and father. And you know, he could have kept his mouth shut, but he didn't. He spoke out and he told them this, and they called him the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. And so what they did, they sold him to some Ishmaelite traders. We've got rid of him. We won't hear from him anymore. But you know what? His God was right there with him. He was in a minority. He was down there. And when he did, they sold him to Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. And I'll not have time to go into this, but I tell you, there's a lot of Baptist preachers who do just the opposite to what Joseph did. She came and wanted to have a relation with him. And he said no. And he ran out or went out and took some of his clothes, maybe in a coat or whatever it was, took it out here. Said he came in here and trying to attack me, falsely accusing him. And I say to you, you better as young men be careful what you do and who you're with and not get out here in a car with some other woman or some young girl. Because there are men today that have the same effect on them as what she wanted him to do with her. And unless God is with you and you can stand against this, you better be careful, because you say, oh, it won't happen to me. Well, I can give you 15 or 20 that it has happened to. And it's wrong and not to be. You know what happened to him? He wound up down there in prison. But God wasn't through with him. He's one of the elect of God. And he's down there, and he was a good man, and he did his duty. He did what God had for him to do. And the baker and the cupbearer, he said, we've had a dream. And he said, I can tell you what the interpretation of this is. You know, you as the baker, said the birds eat the top out of his head. And he said, you're going to die. But the cupbearer, he said, you're going to be restored. And he was. But he said, now when you get up there, you remember me when they get up there. And he forgot about him. You see, time wasn't ready, because God was going to give the leader in Egypt a dream. And he called in his soothsayers and his fortune tellers and all of those things. And he said, tell me the dream. Tell me the interpretation of this. He said, well, tell us what the dream was. He said, I don't remember. Well, you want me to tell you something that you don't remember? I know it was a dream. And he said, here's seven plenteous years. Here's 7 years that plenty is going to be eat up, and there won't be any more. And he said, well, we need somebody to take care of this. You know what happened? He was put second in command. You know, you look at him down there in prison. What are you doing down here? You're a servant of God. I tell you, God uses us wherever he wants us, and we don't pick the place where to go. I told him, I preached in a conference over at Richmond the other night, or other afternoon, and I said, I'm going to preach what God laid on my heart. You can't fire me because I don't have a pastorate now. is that the flesh entered in? But anyway, Joseph wasn't in any hurry to get out of there, but they brought him out. And you know what happened? His brothers did just what the interpretation of that dream was. They bowed down to him. They didn't recognize him in that Egyptian robe and all. And so when the time came, well, they came and got grain and took it back and came back the second time. He said, don't come back here unless you bring the younger brother. He didn't know, they didn't know who he was or what he was talking about. So he said, you bring your younger brother. He went back, and the dad said, no, I've lost one son. They brought back his coat and they dipped it in the blood of an animal that they'd killed, and said, here's imagination now. Is this your son's coat? It sure looks like it. And you know what he did? He jumped to the conclusion that Joseph was dead. But God wasn't through with him. God was just working things out so it had all fit in place. And then the time came when they went back down there, and he said, now you take the wagons, go up here, and get Dad, and there were 70 of them all together, came down there, and they gave the land that was the best land in Egypt, and they dwelt there. You may get to the place that you may lose everything physically that you have in this life, but it may be that next week God will give you twice as much as you had before. Don't worry about it. Take today and live this day for the Lord and enjoy it, you elect of God. Because God takes care of us day by day. And so we see him and Joseph, and God worked through him. And then also, we look on farther there. Joseph took care of them and cared for his family. And then when he did, God had a purpose. I'm going to raise up a nation, raise up a people that is going to bring, my son's going to come through that very line. Of course, we could go to Moses and how that he was to be the leader, and how they went and he killed one of the Egyptians, and that's all right. Yeah, but when there were two Israelites, it's not all right. Which one of us are you going to kill? So you see, when you begin to let the flesh enter in, you're going to get in trouble. Seek the leadership of the Lord. And so what we need to do is to let God lead and guide and direct us in all things. And when we do it His way, let me tell you, I just about got the folks at Logana to the place they don't say luck anymore. Every time they do, it slips out and they make a statement. Now, it wasn't luck. It's the providence of God leading us to this place. And if you use that term luck, I hope you'll remember that point in my message, because you're being a poor witness for the Lord. It's the providence of God that's guiding and directing us in whatever we do, wherever we go. And then I call your attention to the fact of Romans 8:28, and somebody, I believe Brother Asbury used this, or somebody along the line there. Anyway, we know that all things work together for them who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. That's us. We are the elect of God. And I think of another man in the Old Testament by the name of Job. The Scripture says he's a man that feared God and eschewed evil. I believe he set that out of the way. He didn't want any part of it. He even prayed for his children when they were having their day, and I assume that that day may be one of them's birthday. They had a party getting together there. He prayed for them. But you know, one of the servants came in, and he said, "Your sons and daughters were at the oldest brother's house, and they are all killed in a windstorm." Think about that. You know, we love our children. They don't do everything that we like, and we pray for them. Joseph still trusted the Lord. Job still trusted the Lord. Another one come in and said that some of them come, the Sabaeans have come, and they've stolen the oxes and the asses and taken them away, and they've killed the servants that took care of them. And then also the Chaldeans came, they took the camels, and they killed the servants there. And so it seemed he lost everything, his earthly possessions. That wasn't bad enough, but the boils that came on him, and he took the potsherd and scraped the infection out of them. And we may come to that place also where that we don't have anything to depend on. And I love my wife, and I appreciate her. But I tell you, his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die? Get out of this mess. Because life is not in my hands." He said, "I can't do that. I can't sin against God. God has brought this out for a purpose." We had two people down in Nicholasville area. When I was pastor down there, they tried to commit suicide. One of the young ladies, member of the church, came so depressed that she had two kinds of medicine she was on, and she put them in her mouth, handful at a time, and swallowed them, another there, and she passed out and fell on the floor, trying to commit suicide. When somebody came in and found her, they called the life squad. They came out and took her to the hospital and pumped her stomach, and she couldn't commit suicide. Wasn't able to. Our life is in the hands of God. You know what they said? They said if she'd have taken all of one of them, it would have killed her. But she didn't know enough to just take the one. She took both of them, and they kind of counteracted. And after a while, she would have overcome that. And then another fellow put a gun in the roof of his mouth and pulled the trigger. And they said that it went up, it hit a bone, and came out here in the back of his ear somewhere. Tried to commit suicide. See, our life in that. I worked with a man in Lexington. He wanted to commit suicide. He cut his wrists, both of them. His wife had gone to work, and she went out and got in the car. And he went in the bathroom and cut both wrists, and the blood was squirting out. And she forgot her car keys. Boy, he was lucky. No, he wasn't. God wanted him to live. And she came back and she found him there in the floor and the blood spurting out. They took him to the hospital and sewed up his wrist and he lived. Let me tell you, you're here and you'll be here until God gets ready to take you out. You remember that. You're here for a witness unto the Lord. And so here, Job, he's one that he'd lost everything, and everything that we have isn't everything. We know the Lord. We have the Lord as our personal Savior. And so, you read the last chapter of the book of Job. God gave him 7 other sons and 3 other daughters, and he doubled all of his earthly possessions. Hey, wouldn't you trade what you have for double what you've got? Not your children, no. But I believe most of you here, if you've got $5 in your pocket, and I'd say, "Well, give me that $5 and I'll give you 10. What's this catch to it?" No catch to it. I'm just going to do that. You say, "Well, sure, I'll trade." I know that. I know you, some of you, well enough that you'd be willing to do that. But you know, you can't outgive God. You can't be blessed by these things. Some of you know Brother Leroy Brandenburg, member of Brother Ellis, where he's pastor at Grace there in Florence. He lived several miles from the church, and he wanted to be able to get rid of his house down on the river and come so he could be close to church. And you know, he didn't find a buyer. But you know, back in 1973, I believe it was, or 74, the Lord sent a tornado down through there. It didn't destroy his house, but it just twisted it on the foundation. The house beside it, it picked it up. It was a brick house. His was a frame. It picked it up and just went down in the basement, sucked everything of that out, and exploded more or less over the Ohio River. His house was just changed there. When the wind blew the windows out, I can tell you there was a straw in the door facing, and it stuck into that. That wind was strong. But the story of this is that God was ready to move him off of the river. You know what? Somebody came along and said, we'll give you so much for this. The insurance company paid him. And he came right up there within 3 miles of the church and bought a house, and he's still living in it today. I tell you, God's able to work. Don't be depressed. We are the elect of God, and God's going to take care of us, and he's going to leave us here until he gets through with us. I hope that will encourage you. If you're standing alone, you've been discouraged, be lifted up. God's still going to take care of you. And then also, there's other things. We remember the song, Pick Up the Broken Pieces. I used to sing that in some of the churches. Bring them to the Lord. He can put them back together. He made a body out of clay. You see, when our life seems like it's wasted, restless, no good, we can go unto the Lord. I tell you, today we're in a minority as far as we, as the elect of God. If we could count them, I believe you'd find more homosexuals out here in the world today than there are sound Baptist preachers. I can't prove that, but I wouldn't doubt it, the way that this thing has become so popular. But nevertheless, our government's turned against us. They say, homosexuals, you have to recognize them. They've got a part, and you don't say anything against them, you can be arrested. But I tell you what, I can't find anywhere that two men ever carried out what God told the first man and woman to do. Bless them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And they never have done that, and they never will. And they can't clone them and still make them there. So we need to recognize this. And then also, it's already been pointed out, the multiple marriages. There are people today, they're changing the Word of God, wanting to, and making it aware that one at a time, and if this one's wrong and she left you and she has sex before you do, you're free to marry and all of this stuff here. I don't know why that God didn't learn that a lot earlier. Do you get my point here? Yeah, you see. So that's what's going on here today. Back in the 60s and 70s, the only translation I knew about until they came out along they came out with a new revised version. But I didn't know there was all these translations. And there's hundreds of them now that have come out. Why didn't God learn that a lot earlier, that we needed to be updated? But you know, I read just here a while back that there were several different translations that people read. And you know what they came up with? That the King James translation was still the best translation. They can understand it better than any of these new translations. There's so much that's left out of them that you don't get the message from God. And so we see today the government's gone against us. It's all right for our young ladies to have children conceived and then abort them. That's nothing but murder. And that's what's going on. And I tell you, it happens even in our Baptist churches, some of them. Our so-called Baptist churches. I haven't had any in our church that I know of. But nevertheless, there are people that do this. And I don't know. I'm going to get myself in trouble. But let me read it, and that way you take it for what it's worth. Over in the book of Timothy, I believe it is, modest dress. They're all preaching on that. He says, I look at verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also the women. You know what I'm going to say, brother. women adorned themselves in modest apparel. Not moderate. Modest is respectable, presentable to get out. Shamefacedness, sobriety. Now look at this. With broided hair, gold or pearls or costly array. I see today women going around like this. They got a ring on every finger. And somebody the other day, and get mad at me. You can say what you want, but that's what the Bible says. Some of them had 2 and 3 rings on their toes. And they wear toeless shoes so they can show their riches. That's not right. Well, anyway, we look at these and we see, I think that's modest also. I don't see there's anything wrong with a wedding ring or a diamond, but I tell you, when you get one so big that you can't get it in your glove if you wear gloves in the wintertime. Look at the 3 Hebrew children. I'll not take time at that, but they, the 3 of them, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. And they put them in the furnace there that was heated 7 times hotter than the other had ever been before. And as a result of it, there was one like the Son of Man in there, Son of God. But these others that threw them in, they were burned up. I tell you, you may get in a position that it looks like this is the end. But I have no trouble. I want to live until the Lord gets through with me. But I don't have any trouble thinking of me leaving this world and going home to be with the Lord. I believe that as the elect of God, we ought to rejoice in these things when the Lord takes us out. And I tell you, Scripture, I can't point it right now, but He says that we're to weep at a birth and rejoice at a death. When God's through with us and He takes us home, we ought to rejoice in this. So what I'm trying to do is to encourage you, as the children of God, things are not always like they look like they are. They could be a whole lot worse, and you can go ahead and take this and make a good message out of it, but we're the children of God, and God's used us, God's blessing us, and they preach the groundwork, and I give you the personal illustrations, and you can put in your experiences, because they couldn't tell what I've experienced and what the people in our church have experienced. But you can preach it in your church and use the same outline, and God will bless it because it's His Word. Thank you, Brother Titus, for letting me come. God bless you.